Track 6. Welcome to another week's sports update. This is Brian Gall with the latest news and comment. What are we to make of Stourbridge Rugby? Saturday's loss at home to Sedgley Park was the club's fourth in a row, and for about 70 of the 80 minutes on Saturday, the faithful at Stourton Park thought it was going to be the club's second in a row without scoring a single point. At least two late tries did avoid that humiliation. But it was an abject performance by the home side in a match they could and should have won, yet in which they somehow avoided doing so. I can only put it down to a collective shattered confidence and, I'm sorry to say, a lack of firm leadership on the field. On Saturday, the Stourbridge pack had complete mastery of their opponent's scrum, yet were unable to take advantage. They were in charge in the line-out as well. Then they had at least a couple of absolutely clear-cut chances to score a try, yet messed them up. It was almost worthy of the Keystone Cops. Their opponents were no more than a decently competent outfit, but had built up an unassailable 19-0 lead as time ticked away before Stourbridge at last managed a couple of tries to put a veneer of respectability on the scoreboard. The match finished 19-12 to the visitors. The only consolation at Stourton Park on the afternoon was word that the Stourbridge Lions, who play their rugby in the Midlands 2 West League, had won a tough-sounding fixture away to Walsall by 30 points to 9 and are still top of the league, although with only a two-point advantage ahead of the second-place club Camp Hill. Walsall, fourth in the league table, had been expected to prove tough opponents on their own turf, but growing in confidence from their recent excellent run of results and able to field just about their strongest squad, the Stourbridge outfit mastered their opponents from the first whistle. Another bonus point win for the side, and again they didn't allow their opponents to score a single try. At least there's some good news from Stourton Park. There was also another win on Saturday for the Dudley Kings Wenford Club, who defeated Hereford by 20 points to 12. After a weekend free of Six Nations rugby, battle will commence again on Saturday with two matches that are hard to call, in my opinion. Scotland kick off proceedings against Wales at Murrayfield, followed by Ireland versus France. Then, on Sunday, it's England versus Italy at Twickenham. I hope to round up the results in my report next week. As a Scotsman, I'm keeping my thoughts strictly to myself. Last week, I was highlighting Stourbridge Football Club's home match on Saturday versus top-of-the-league Blyth Spartans, saying that Glasboys needed to get something from this game to keep up their push for a place in the promotion playoffs. Unfortunately, they failed. The match ended 2-1 in favour of Spartans, and indeed, the Stourbridge goal came in the very last minute. From reports I've read, Blyth showed why they're top of the league with some slick attacking football which stretched the home defence. Both sides showed a willingness to attack right from the start, but the visitors gradually got on top. Their opening goal came after 25 minutes, and once they'd added a second before the interval, it looked as though there could only be one winner. Blyth were quicker and slicker, and in the later stages of the game, Stourbridge's attempts on goal became fewer and fewer. When they did score, right at the end, it was somewhat fortuitous. A corner taken by Tonks caused no immediate danger, but the clearance by a Blyth defender was miscued and went back to the corner kicker, who fired a shot from an acute angle that somehow avoided the visiting defenders and goalkeeper to settle in the far corner of the net. The one good thing from Glasboys' perspective was that apart from Blyth themselves, none of the other top teams in the league won on Saturday, and Stourbridge had an immediate opportunity on Monday evening to make up ground when Warrington were the visitors to the Memorial Ground here. Warrington are a mid-table side, although not out of the fight for a place in the playoffs, and they shocked Stourbridge with a 1-0 win. The only goal of the match came midway through the second half, and as a result, Glasboys, after two losses in 3 days, suddenly find their place amongst the playoff hopefuls in doubt. They will need to get back on track quickly. The romance of the FA Cup is a phrase often used, indeed overused, by sports reporters, but perhaps there was some justification when employed to describe last weekend's fifth round ties, because two of the smallest sides ever to survive this far were in action. By the fifth round stage of the competition, we're down to the last 16 surviving clubs. Lincoln City of the National League had already disposed of Championship sides Ipswich and Brighton in earlier rounds, but were not expected to continue beyond Saturday's visit to Premier League Burnley. They not only survived, but prospered with a 1-0 victory thanks to a headed goal scored into injury time at the end of the match. They were joined in fifth-round action by Sutton United, who entertained Arsenal on Monday evening's fifth-round tie, and they were far from disgraced in losing 2-0. But Lincoln survive into the quarter-finals of the competition, and they will visit Arsenal when that takes place. A huge revenue earner for the club, even if they can go no further. Other survivors into the quarters are Chelsea, Spurs, Manchester United, Middlesbrough and Millwall, while Manchester City and Huddersfield will have to replay after a goalless draw at the weekend. Chelsea advanced on Saturday at the expense of Wolves, whom they beat 2-0 at Molineux. In league matches at the weekend, Birmingham City were thrashed 4-1 at home by Queen's Park Rangers, while Villa went down 2-0 against the Championship leaders Newcastle United. Albion had the weekend off. They're out of the FA Cup, and there were no Premier League fixtures at the weekend due to the fifth round of the Cup. There was a big indoor athletics fest at the indoor arena in Birmingham over the weekend, with the highlight of victory for Mo Farah in the 5,000 metres, which he says will be his final indoor race. His winning time of 13 minutes 9 seconds was a European record. Mo is retiring from track racing outdoors as well later this year after the World Championships in August to concentrate on marathon running thereafter. Laura Muir was also a record breaker at this meeting. Running in the 1,000 metres, she came within a second of matching the world record for the event and smashed the field in doing so. Laura already holds the European 3,000 and British 5,000 metre records and will be heading off to the Indoor European Championships to be held in Belgrade early next month with high hopes of winning the 1,500 and 3,000 metres. Other British victors included Andrew Potsey, who won the 60 metres hurdles and the best time recorded by anybody so far in 2017. And we had a first and second in the women's long jump, won by Lorraine Eugen with Jasmine Sawyers in second place. Sawyers is also currently a contestant in television's The Voice programme, and on Saturday she provided a light-hearted moment in the middle of the athletics by singing Happy Birthday to Colin Jackson, who was a member of the BBC's team commentating on the event. It was his 50th birthday. However, spectators attending the event were disappointed that two of our brightest female performers cried off at the last minute. Dina Asher-Smith somehow broke her foot in training last week. She's likely to be missing for competition for a while. And Katarina Johnson-Thompson, who'd been due to appear in the long jump, withdrew with a slight hamstring strain. I hope she'll be fit for the European indoors the weekend after this. A snippet of tennis news. Listeners may remember that when Great Britain defeated Canada in the Davis Cup a few weeks ago, Kyle Edmund was awarded victory in the final singles match when his opponent, angry at missing an easy smash, slammed a ball into the umpire's face. That sort of thing doesn't happen very often, but it has happened to an opponent of Edmund's again. Playing in the opening round of a tournament in Florida on Monday, Edmund was leading the French player Adrian Mannarino 6-3, 5-love, so was very close to victory, when Mannarino totally lost the plot. Having earlier smashed a ball which narrowly missed a ball boy, then kicked a chair, he then whacked another one out of court and had the game and the match awarded against him. I don't often mention rugby league, but I'm intrigued by a match due to take place this coming weekend. The opening round of this season's Challenge Cup competition will feature a team called the Toronto Wolfpack. Yes, they really are from Toronto, Canada, but after several years of behind-the-scenes canvassing by their management, this year they've been admitted to English Rugby League, and this Saturday will be their first competitive match. They are due to play a minor West Yorkshire team called Siddle, but thereafter there'll be a regular club in the National League, which is the third level of rugby league in England. They've put together a side made up largely of veteran players from other clubs, plus young hopefuls, but they have money behind them, and if successful, they'll be able to build a stronger playing squad. They have agreed a fixture arrangement with the league. They will play five successive fixtures at home in Toronto, with an English side flying out there every week to meet them. Then they will come over here and play five successive matches in England, repeating that process throughout the league season. They've even fixed up a sponsorship deal with a Canadian airline, with the result that all this transatlantic travel will be provided free of charge. It's an interesting venture. The club's backers think there should be a big audience for rugby league across North America, and they've already fixed up some television deals to show their matches. That's about it from me this week. Stourbridge Rugby don't have a fixture this coming weekend, so I'll be able to watch Saturday's Six Nations Internationals on television without distraction. Whether that will be to my benefit is another matter. Anyway, I'll be back with the latest next time. Until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.